Pride will cost you everything but leave you with nothing. Pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense. C.S. Lewis. You guys, we all have struggles, broken relationships, and even dreams that are yet to be realized because of our pride. Sadly, many of us do not experience the happy life and the blessings that are waiting for us if we would only swallow our pride and move forward in God's plan. In this episode, we are going to hear an amazing story of restoration, all because a wonderful couple chose to put their pride aside, to show humility, and invited God into every step along the way. So last episode, this woman shared how her and her husband ended up separated and divorced, and shares the problems that contributed to the breakdown of their marriage. And in this episode, she shares how God brought them back together, not once, not twice, but three times. So if you have not already, listen to the previous episode, episode 31, because you do not want to miss the backstory. I repeat, do not listen to this episode if you did not already listen to the first half of our conversation, episode 31. Hey guys, what's up? This is Amanda Borrego, and welcome back to the podcast, A Fight Worth Fighting. On this podcast, we seek wisdom and advice from those whose marriages have stood the test of time and are here to share. It may not be easy, but it will be worth it. Go check out our website, because we have taken all of the advice our elders have given us on this podcast and created a printable challenge for you. Go to afwfpodcast.com and get a week's worth of daily challenges to create big miracles, because we all deserve for our home and our marriage to be our happy place. That's afwfpodcast.com. And if this episode encourages you in any way, shape, or form, I ask a huge favor that you please share it with your family and friends. Please subscribe so that you get a notification when we release new episodes, and leave a review so that other people who are struggling in their own marriages will find this encouragement. Also, make sure you go follow us on Instagram and Facebook, because we often do giveaways for Apple AirPods or Amazon gift cards, and we would love to connect with you on social media. Alrighty, let's jump right into this week's episode.
Totally. It's hard sometimes to remind ourselves that we need to follow God's plan and not our plan or our parents' plan or our best friend's plan, because she did it this way, so I have to do it that way also. And it's, I think when I look back on my younger years and, you know, my late teens, early 20s, I only went to God when I had problems. I only asked him about my problems. I didn't ever go to him with gratitude or asking for guidance. It was more just like, this is wrong and I need you to fix it. And I think when I look back, if I would have gone to God in more of a place of conversation and brought the whole picture to him, I would have found so much more clarity and fulfillment in the things that I was doing.
Mm-hmm. I can totally relate. I feel the same way. Like when I was younger, I didn't go to God unless I had a problem. And now I try my best, and I'm not good, but I try to remain in like constant conversation with God. And even take some of my like frustrations to him. Like, God, why? Like, really, why? This doesn't seem fair. Like, I'm so frustrated right now, Lord. Because God can handle it, and God wants us to have like that kind of relationship with him, where we're transparent and honest, like, and like we're just talking to a best friend. And so I completely agree. And, you know, I remember in high school telling my best friend, I want to be married and have 6 kids by the time I'm 24. And it's so funny, because I still have the same dream now. Like, I still really wish I could have such a big family. And so I'm like, oh, I wish I would have got started having kids so much younger. But, you know, I just wonder, like, what would God have made of it if I maybe would have taken that to him? So anyways, I totally agree, like taking all of our conversations to God all of the time, like even for the dreams that we have now, even now I need to still go to God. God, I still want a really big family. Like, please give me the energy and the strength for it. Because he's a good God and he's a God of miracles. And so, yes, I love that so much. I want to get back to some of our marriage chat. So it sounds like you got married in 2011 and then divorced in 2015. And then you were telling us that God kind of put it on your heart and your friend kind of brought it out. Like, do you think you made the right decision? So the wheels kind of started turning. So then was it just kind of like on a whim, or did you really like have to build up the courage to finally go to your husband and say, do you think we should work it out? And then it sounds like you said he had a lot of frustration probably towards you, because, you know, it sounds like you were kind of the one who pushed forward with the divorce. So did it take a lot for you to finally come to him and say, would you want to work it out?
Let me tell you, this story just gets so crazy. Like, this is 100% God being like, you don't want to listen to me. I guess I'll have to do it for you. Like, so my husband and I got divorced in 2015. And then we both actually were in pretty serious relationships. I had a boyfriend. He started dating another woman, and we were both living with our boyfriends and girlfriends for a short period of time. And then I actually purchased a home, and my daughter and I moved into our new home. And shortly after living in the home, I had a peeping Tom, and I was like mortified. Beyond, like, I couldn't sleep. I was full of anxiety. And meanwhile, in this whole time, I had really, really found my place with God. I had decided to become confirmed as an adult, something I had never done before. And I really was like growing a really strong relationship with God and really starting to, for the first time in my life, have like an open relationship with God where I went to him and put it all out there. And so I had been praying this whole time, like, please, God, I pray that you shine your light on my path, like, help me to see this path that you laid out for me. Help me to find the man that you have basically blessed me with. And I prayed that God would give me the vision to see it. Because sometimes, you know, suitors might come into your life and it's like, ugh. Is this really where God wants me to be? Is this the person God wants me to be with? So I was really praying to God, like, please bless me with the man that will complete my family. And I totally was, you know, negligent of the fact that he was already there. God had already given him to me years before, and I just couldn't seem to see that. So, my husband was in another relationship. Like I said, he was living with this woman. And then out of the blue, he calls me one day and he says, you know, we've broken up and I'm going to move out from the house that we're living in. I don't know where I'm going to live. I might, you know, rent a place from a friend and I'll figure it out, kind of thing. And I was like, well, I have an extra bedroom at my house. Rather than you just throwing rent away, like, why don't you come and stay with us until you figure out what you want to do? And I told, he knew that I had a peeping Tom, and so I like wanted him to come stay with us because it would make me feel better and safer. And then I was like, oh, I could finally sleep at night. Mm-hmm. So my daughter and I set up the guest room and he moved in. And you know what? I knew in my head, like, this is crazy. Like, why am I going to offer my house to him? How long is he going to be here for? Like, what is this going to be like? And very quickly, God has set it into motion that it became very apparent to me that God made that whole series of events happen and kind of forced us back together. He pushed us from the outside so that it made us come back together. And so he moved in 2017. And pretty quickly, I felt like I took back on these like wife role, you know, like, how am I going to make dinner for me and my daughter, but tell him to make his own food? So of course he's going to join us for dinner. Well, if you're going to join us for dinner, then we're all going to pray together and we're going to share a meal and share conversation. And it just very quickly, like, kind of forced us to forget our indifferences and the hard times we had been through. And we saw that, you know, there was still love between us and that we were really meant to be together and meant to be together as a family. And we saw how incredibly happy our daughter was to have us both together and be doing just simple things as a family, you know, Saturday breakfast, make pancakes and bacon and do yard work, but to do it as a family was what was really important. And I just saw that, you know, I've been praying to God for how many years for this? Well, he's put it in my lap. Like, I can't deny it at this point.
Oh my gosh, it's like making me so emotional. That's so, you know, I think we all have these moments that we can make special, like Saturday mornings or yard work, and we do them and we neglect to be grateful for those little things that we think are meaningless. But hearing Els share, you know, how they do those same things with their family, it just really makes me think, wow, that's so special, you know, and we're doing that too. And so I love that. And thank God for that peeping Tom. Just kidding. That's so creepy. But wow, I mean, that really is an amazing story. So then from there, so things are, I mean, you guys basically we're becoming a family again. And so then what was the next thing that led to you having that conversation with your husband?
Yeah, so from there, I remember my husband works a lot, and so he had worked late one night and I stayed up to wait for him to get home. And he came home and he kissed me and I was like, ooh, this is weird. And then I was like, okay, this is totally God's doing. And we really just started talking at that point. And we really both just started, you know, venting our frustrations about kind of both of us. Like, we wish we would have tried harder the first time. And it was too easy. It was easier to throw in the towel the first time than to put in the work. And so, you know, I went to him and was like, I took the easy way out. And we both kind of humbled ourselves and took responsibility for the things that we each did. And I took a lot of responsibility for the actions that I had taken. And I didn't put our marriage first. And I definitely wasn't putting God first at that time. And we really just kind of talked through it and then decided from that point out, like, we were going to work through life as a family and we were going to put all of our effort into kind of recreating that marriage and that bond between us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then in very early 2018, we had kind of been talking about getting married again. And it was almost like half joking, half serious. Like, we were both serious, but it was like we didn't want to put a lot of pressure on it. And then my husband had my daughter propose to me. And I was like, oh, it was very teary and very special. And then we got married again in 2018. We had a wedding, a destination wedding in Mexico with our close friends and family. And then, like, at the beginning, I said we were married three times. Well, since we got married in Mexico, we had to come back and get married at the court here as well. So that was our third time's a charm was to legally get married here.
That's funny. That's so cute. So yeah, I was thinking about how you said you took the easy way out, but in the long run, it's funny how people say that, because in the long run, I feel like very rarely was it really the easy way out, you know, because you probably had to do a lot more work than if you would have just stayed married.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I ended up just taking the detour route. I thought I was taking, you know, the quick way to get somewhere, but I definitely took the detour and, you know, it really hurt our family. Like, I thought I was taking the easy way, but it most definitely hurt each of us individually so much more. Mm-hmm. I think it did make me so much more appreciative of what we had, though, once we did get back together, because even though I say, you know, I took the easy way by kind of bailing on our marriage and our family initially, it's like, there was no guarantee that had we tried to work it out, then that it would have worked for us. And I don't know where we would have been now had I changed that decision in 2013. So even though it was hard and I did put in more work, I think I learned so much from it, and we are in a better place and better people because of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's your perfect story. It was exactly what you guys needed. Yeah, it's not to say that you should have never done that. That's between you and God. And obviously, it sounds like you were trying to walk with God the entire time. So it sounds like he completely had a hand in it the entire time. So it's easy to say, oh, we did the wrong thing, but not necessarily. And it'll be interesting to talk to meet God one day and ask him, like, was this part of the plan? But what a blessing that you guys just came to appreciate each other so much more. And so how do you describe yourself and your just like perspective and your attitude towards being a wife now compared to when you first got married? Like, did you have to change as a wife? Was it easy to change just knowing what was at stake because you kind of lost it all? How was the Allison then different from the Allison now?
Yeah, I think back then I was trying to be so independent. I was trying to force our marriage to be two independent people who kind of, like, instead of being two halves, we were just trying to be two whole people in a marriage. Mm-hmm. And now the way I kind of approach our marriage is, you know, we're two puzzle pieces that don't fit perfectly together. And we do have to change, and we have to be bendable and be open to kind of making sacrifices. You know, there's so many times in my marriage where I think that I have the right answer, and it takes me kind of stepping back and pulling away to look at it from another perspective to see that, you know, my answer might not always be right. And I think now I do approach our marriage so much differently, because this is so, like, kind of against the current times that we're in, and you might think of it as old fashioned, but I really like to look to my husband to lead our family, you know, and it wasn't always easy for me to kind of give up that control. And now there are things that I like to be control of, but I've found fulfillment in controlling other parts of my life, you know, such as my work, my career, things in my personal life. But I like to know that my husband is leading our family through his relationship with God and through the examples that have been set by the successful marriages in his family. And I've just put so much more trust in him to make decisions for our family than I ever did when we were married when I was younger. I didn't have, I guess I just didn't trust that the decisions he was going to make were the right decisions. And I just was very selfish and, you know, I wanted to be in control of the situation and was kind of like, well, I can control what I do. So I'm going to make these decisions for myself apart from the decisions that are being made in our family and our marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really, really hard thing to navigate. And I think God calls us to, as wives, you always hear to be submissive and nobody likes that word at all. I try to think of it like as, you know, servanthood. And then equally, God says that our husbands need to love and serve us. So I don't, obviously, he's not talking about just taking orders nonstop or the woman never having her voice heard or never having control of anything. I don't think that's what it means. I think we each need to take that to God and ask, how does that look in my life and in my relationship? But I think that's so easy to become, or it's so difficult to become interdependent, because we come into our marriages so independent in this day and age. That book I was telling you about was making the case that people had an easier time meshing, getting along, serving one another, relying on one another, supporting one another, because they got married younger and people didn't go into marriages with an established career, with an established mindset, and all of this independence. They went into marriage being told, you two are put together to build together. You're here to support your husband's career and vice versa. You guys support each other through everything in life and you build together. And now we come in so independent with our careers and educations and our ways that are so hard to change that I think it makes it really hard to become united. So that's one thing that I really try to think about. It's not easy for me at all, but I'm trying more and more to remember that I need to empower my husband, because I don't think this world is doing a very good job at all of empowering men. I think it's all about empowering women, you know, and that's great, but men are also powerful. Men are also smart. Men also have so much to bring to the table as leaders and as everything that God has called them to be. So I think that is so hard to navigate and, you know, might not be something we can change overnight, but if we can keep bringing it to God again and again and again, I know that he will guide us and help us to learn a new way, or to learn how to be the wife that that he calls us to be. So I love that. I love how God really just changed your heart inside of that, and thank God, you know, that you had an easy time kind of taking that on. That's such a blessing and a miracle, you know, it really is. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have a very hard time navigating that. So I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I think something really important to ask, and it seems like God was really working and brought you guys together, but back together and together in the first place. But what else helped you guys to start moving forward and helps you to stay strong now? I know that you mentioned in the beginning, when you were wanting to get divorced, you talked to all of your divorced friends. And that's funny, because on one of my episodes, I think it's called The Time That I Asked My Divorce Best Friend for Advice, I was fighting with my husband and I wanted her to tell me, you should get a divorce. She said something completely different. But it's almost like we want to find somebody that's going to tell us what we want to hear. Mm-hmm. And so I did the same thing inside of first going to advice from my divorce friend, who I thought was going to tell me, get a divorce. And it sounds like you did too. But now in moving forward and making things work and building the marriage that you have now. Like, is it easy for you now? Was it just like, oh, poof, like things are just so easy? Or did you meet someone or a therapist that supported you through all of this? Did you find a book or a plan? What practical ways can you share with our listeners that have helped you to just get on the right path that is creating this beautiful marriage for you guys?
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. You know, there's still hard times, and it's not like God just said, poof, here you go. Here's your marriage back. Pick up where you left off and make it right. No, it's not easy. And I think there's something to be said for who you get advice from. You know, you wouldn't go to a golf pro and ask for advice about how to cook a pot roast. And on the flip side, you wouldn't, you know, ask a chef for medical advice. So you should go to the people who have really lived it and who can give advice on that subject. So, for example, I'm blessed to still have my grandmother in my life, and she was happily married for over 60 years before she became a widow. My grandpa passed away. And she, you know, when I was growing up, I always thought that they were just married and they got along and things worked out and were easy. But now that I'm an adult and she shares stories with me about things that they went through, I see that, you know, they struggled and they got through a lot, and I take her advice to heart. I also think that previously when I was married, I always knew that there was this emergency escape called divorce. And now divorce isn't on my radar. So when there's problems, you have to find a solution for them. There's not an easy way out. The answer is not to run away and leave home. You know, you have to kind of work through it. I also think there's a lot to be said for keeping privacy in your marriage. You know, when there's tough things that come up, you don't need to run and tell all your friends what's going on. It's not how it was in high school when you have problems with your high school boyfriend and you know, ask six of your girlfriends for their advice, or you go to everybody you know and tell them what's going on so that your side of the story can be heard first. It's totally different. There's power in keeping privacy to your marriage and not kind of spilling your troubles around town, because then you have to go around and clean them up, you know? So I think there's things that are just meant to be kept private and meant to be worked out in privacy. I think that we can get a lot of advice from, you know, people in our families who have successful marriages, people in our churches who have successful marriages, or, you know, those that don't have successful marriages and would be the first to tell you, I did this wrong and I wish I would have done it this way. And I think that advice can be very impactful also. Mm-hmm. I like to keep our marriage right now kind of focused on God. I still pray every day that God shines light on our path as a family so that we can see this path He's created and laid out for us and trust that we're following on it the way that He has intended and that we're not taking a detour. Mm-hmm. And I do pray that God blesses my husband and kind of gives my husband that clarity to see the path also so that he can continue to guide our family. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of taken up this practice of knowing that, you know, prayers aren't always heard immediately. Sometimes they're put on a wait list and now we have to be patient. And a lot of times when we're patient, problems tend to work themselves out as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love all of that. Oh my gosh, such good advice. I really love how you're talking about the fact that you still have your grandma and other family members who have successful marriages and that you've gone to them for advice. And that's something that I've said from the beginning of the podcast, because that was, I feel like, one of the things that changed my marriages around. where I finally put away the fact that I was embarrassed to share we were having problems and asked some of the people in our family, because I really feel, and we've gone to a marriage therapist, I do not feel like there has been anything more helpful inside of moving our marriage forward than the advice that family members and other elders in our community have given us. I think there's a time and a place for therapy, but I think God is so diligent in who he selects as our family members and who he puts in our lives, because those people can be some of the biggest difference makers. Those people are going to be the ones who pray for you day after day after day, check on you. And I recently talked about this in a previous episode, episode 25. So if you want more of my thoughts and feelings on, for any of our listeners, if you want more of my thoughts and feelings of marriage or marriage therapist versus family and friends who have come alongside of us, go listen to episode 25. But yeah, Allison, I really love what you're saying, and what a blessing that you have your grandma that is there to give you advice and support you. And another thing that really stuck out was not bashing your marriage. But there is a very fine line, I feel, like between getting support for your marriage and then just being negative with your marriage. And I think when you are in those dark seasons or those hard seasons of marriage, it's so easy to just be completely 100% negative and to think, oh, well, I need someone to talk about, but then you're just bashing and you're just venting, and then it just creates more of the same. And it's just kind of like this cycle that keeps going on and on. And so I love how you said, like, be very careful about not bashing your marriage, and pray, give it to God. And in time, like, it might be waitlisted, like you said, but he will answer these prayers. And another thing that one of my aunts gave us advice on was stop focusing on all your problems and go and have fun. And I love how you mentioned that earlier in the episode, inside of just saying, oh, we think we need to be so serious now that we're parents and now that we're adults. But I wonder if people just focus so much more on laughing, making each other laugh and making each other have fun, we would have much more enjoyable moments and days, and then the bigger picture marriages. So I love that so much. My last two questions for you is, what is your favorite thing about your husband, and what is the best part of being married? And then leave us with one challenge that you think would improve our marriages if we took it on this week.
Okay, so I think my favorite thing about my husband, it's hard. It's hard to choose a favorite thing, because I really do love him so much and it encompasses so many things. But in terms of our marriage, I really like and appreciate, and I think my favorite thing would be that he thinks about the long term. And I tend to think about, like, the short term, or, you know, what we're doing next week or next month, or how this impacts the here and now. And I think I really appreciate that my husband can look at things like, how is this going to impact us 10 years from now when our daughter's graduating high school? Or where are we going to be when it's time to retire? And I think that thinking, him bringing that up and having me think long term, helps me to see, you know, where we're going to be and our lives down the road. And that, again, like, this season of being a parent, it's a season also. Eventually we will be back to just being us. And how do we build a strong marriage so that we enjoy those times too? I think that's a big one. The challenge, I did think about this, and I think I would challenge the listeners to try to think of something every day that they're grateful for about their spouse. And I think when times are hard, it's really hard to come up with these. And I was kind of making a list, and it's like, there's some silly things. Like, I'm grateful that my husband picks up the dog poop, because I don't want to pick up dog poop. And I'd rather not go out in the yard and do that kind of thing. And You know, I used to be kind of resentful of how much he worked and how much energy and effort he put into his career when we were married originally. And now I've kind of changed my mindset that I'm grateful for it because he's providing for our family. Mm-hmm. And his efforts at work aren't because he doesn't want to be with us at home. It's because he wants to make a better life for us at home. So I think I would challenge people to shift their mindset to look for the positive and what they can be grateful for in every situation.
Oh, I love that. And just a quick recommendation for anyone who feels like they need to work more on being grateful, read the book, The Magic. I'll link it in the show notes, but I love it. It's simple little things to be different, things that you would never even think to be grateful for every day. But Allison, I loved our chat today. I feel so encouraged. You are so wise. And it sounds like you have an absolutely incredible husband who is a hard worker and a great leader. And it sounds like he never wanted to give up. And so thank God, because it sounds like, and it looks like you guys just have such an amazing family. I really admire you guys. And I know so many are going to be encouraged by your message today and you coming on and being vulnerable and courageous enough to share your journey. Please tell your husband I said thank you, because I know that this is his story as well. And so I really, really appreciate both of you. And what a blessing. I know you talked about in the beginning that you're trying to navigate this difficult year and keep in mind that God may use it to encourage another person. And I know that what you've gone through this past year is going to do that, but also what you've gone through inside of your marriage journey and you sharing is doing that right now and encouraging so many that are going to listen. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I just hope that we can keep this friendship going. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you, Amanda. I really appreciate being on and that you wanted to hear my story. I'm not going to lie, I was apprehensive to share just because I feel like there used to be kind of this embarrassment to say, like, well, I got a divorce and then I remarried my husband again. But I think talking with you previous to this and kind of thinking more about it, you know, it's a blessing, and I've always known it's a blessing, but it's also a blessing to be able to share this story with other people. And if there's one person that's going through this and thinking, well, I'd really love to work it out with my ex-husband, but I just don't see how it's possible, I hope, you know, maybe this can help shed some light and allow them to open their heart to God and pray for this, because it really is possible. And this is one of God's miracles that he's put into my life, for sure. And so I thank you for allowing me to share my story.
Wow, guys, what a beautiful story of God giving beauty for ashes, all because two people decided to put their pride aside, show humility, as Allison says, and invite God into every step along the way. Like Allison said, what a miracle. So my biggest takeaway from this episode is the topic of pride. Maybe this topic isn't affecting your marriage. Maybe it's a different relationship, like a broken friendship or a distant child or a parent. But what it comes down to is all of us struggle with pride, and it can look differently for all of us. For me, it looks like my need to get even, like demanding justice when my feelings have been hurt. When my pride shows up, I have feelings like, well, I have to make my husband pay. It shows up like, I can't move forward until I feel justice has been served. It shows up like, I'm going to make him pay for the offense. But how many times has Jesus given us a free pass? I saw this quote that said, nobody has ever choked from swallowing their pride. But that's precisely what it feels like, right? No joke. It really feels like that. It takes everything in me to turn the other cheek, for me to remember not to take things personally and to move forward.
Not because my husband or whoever the offender might be necessarily deserves it, because I don't deserve all of the grace that my husband gives me
either.
But I have to choose to let it go and to move forward because God calls us to do so. Listen to this. The Bible tells us, whatever you do, do it from the heart for the Lord and not for people. The Bible really has a lot to say about pride, which makes me think that God knew very well we would struggle with it. Pride comes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:6. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. James 4:10. So swallowing my pride is so hard. It's hard, but it's infinitely easier when we ask God for help. Yes, we can pray in our heads, Lord, please help us. But let me tell you, my husband is so awesome. I need to take a lesson from him. So lately, when we get snippy with each other or start the day on the wrong foot, he's been saying, okay, we're going to stop right now and pray about it. And he was doing this so often. I was like, are you being sarcastic about this? But nope, he would pray an amazing prayer and ask for God's help. And sure enough, things would turn around immediately. And it would soften our hearts. So I encourage you to have the courage to do that in your hard moments. It may be so out of the norm that, like me, your spouse might say, are you being sarcastic? But have courage, be faithful, and do it anyways. Put your pride aside and take it to God. I feel like that was the theme throughout the entire episode. Allison shared how time and time again, she's been learning in her marriage how to put her pride aside, humble herself, and take it all to God. And she even said she had to learn that her way wasn't always the best way. That's a hard lesson, guys. It's the hardest to do. But look at what an amazing story she has. Look how faithful God was. Look at this miracle that God gave her, all because she put her pride aside and gave it to God. So I ask you, what areas are you prideful in? What relationship is broken because pride has a grip on you? I heard this quote that says, never let your pride keep something broken that your heart wants to fix. If your answer is no relationship is broken or struggling and I have no pride, I highly encourage you to take that to God. Ask him to show you. Ask him to open your eyes. Ask him to help you see the situation how he sees the situation. There's a beautiful verse that you can memorize and pray. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, Lord, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Isn't that beautiful? That's Psalms 139, 23, and 24. So there are ways for every single one of us to be more humble and to show that humility. You guys, I know people who have such a hard time admitting they are wrong. I'm one of them. Or that they messed up, or even have a hard time laughing at themselves. So parents, side note, but teach this to your kids. Make them apologize and say sorry when they've offended someone. Teach them to say, my bad, and teach them to laugh at themselves. Like, sometimes if my kids make a mess or have a spill, yes, I make them clean it up, but I also try to laugh when it's appropriate. I try not to get like, oh, why did you do that again? Like, sometimes I try to just remember, like, they're kids, and we all make messes, so just laugh. I'm not always perfect at this, but I try. If they have a small slip or do something silly, I try to laugh out loud so that they learn to laugh at themselves and they learn that it's okay to mess up. We're all going to mess up, and that they know that they don't have to let their pride be so big that they can't laugh at themselves or even own up to it. We can all do a little bit better job at laughing about things, taking ownership, saying I'm sorry or my bad, and moving forward. So showing humility, sometimes all that looks like is, hey, I love you and I'm sorry. Or hey, my bad, and I love you and you're important to me. And don't forget that in any confrontation or disagreement, Nobody is ever 100% right, and nobody is ever 100% wrong. Each of us plays some part, and this should probably be said. When you do apologize, you're probably going to be let down if you expect the person you're apologizing to own their part. Newsflash, they're probably not going to. But that's not yours to deal with. God will deal with them. Just own yours. Don't try to justify anything that you've done or give reasons why, because every fiber in your being will tell you to do so. But it really won't end up getting you anywhere. Resist the urge and give it to God. I know you had your reasons. You know you had your reasons. I know you were offended. And God knows too. But he calls us to turn the other cheek, to put our pride aside, and to show the same forgiveness and love that he extends to us time and time again. And I bet that all of this will be easier if you stay in constant communication with God, asking him to give you peace and the strength to do it. So we always say on this podcast that good intentions are worthless if we put no action behind them. So I hope that Allison's story offers you encouragement in some relationship in your life. Maybe a bridge was burned that can be restored and made beautiful again if you give it to God. And like Allison did, I challenge you to commit to taking that relationship to God relentlessly, because I know he will make a way and give you an answer. And then take action. If you feel the nudge to make a phone call or send a text, do it. You got this. God bless you. And don't forget that God is for you and your family. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.